Today's plan is on what we call the Rubik's Cube of the states under $10 million. We've just arrived back from Florida at the annual Estate Planning Institute. One of the gentlemen who we've known for years who works at Bessemer Trust, Steve Akers, had put together a presentation that emphasized the issue of income tax and the permanency of increases in the federal estate tax and how these two work. And so if there are two things that I want you to take away from today is we are in a position of greater certainty as to where the federal exemption amounts are. We're pretty gosh darn certain where the state exemptions are remaining in the metropolitan area of New York with respect to the $675 for New Jersey, $1 million for New York, and $2 million for the for Connecticut. But what we are most focused on is the new increase of tax that many of you are encountering due to long-term capital gains treatment, income tax ordinarily in the state regimes. Some of you have chosen to move to more favorable regimes like Wyoming and Florida would be the two key ones. Nevada is another. So today's discussions will be not just estate tax and how we're minimizing, because many of you will be below the combined exemptions of 5.34 million, that's the new adjusted amount, times two. So there's almost $11 million between husband and wife on the federal exemption amount. So your focuses are minimizing state estate tax, and your focus is minimizing income tax. Because today those rates combined with the state rates are putting you in a high 30% tax bracket. What can we do? What can we do, for example, when someone has a piece of real estate that is worth $1 million or owns stock in Google or its portfolio has grown and they haven't sold the positions and there has been $1 million, $2 million gain on the real estate or the stock or the portfolio? What can they do to avoid a 35% tax rate? So if you're under $10 million, we're no longer worried about the 50% tax, estate tax issue that has plagued us for years. Our only issue is the 10% tax rate on anything over the state exemption amount. So today, you may find yourselves in a position where you have an $8 million estate and you have a state estate tax of 10% over the $1 million, so you've got $800,000, but you may have a 35% rate on all of your gains. And so if you have $2, $3 million of gains or $4 million of gains in real estate and other matters, you could wind up having twice the tax on your assets through gains tax versus any estate tax rate you pay. So the takeaway today is the most sophisticated estate planning for estates under $10 million is what can I do, McManus and team, to minimize the capital gains taxes that my kids are going to have on the assets that we own today. So, number two is what opportunities do we have to achieve a step up in basis? So many of you, before the exemptions amount popped up to $5 million, may have taken a house or investment properties or portfolio assets and put them into trust for your children. As you know, the purpose of that was to minimize estate tax because we had an exemption of $1 million. And it was key to get anything over $1 million into trust to avoid the 50% tax. Today, however, your estate may be worth $5, $6, $7, $8 million, but you have a federal exemption of 10. So you know that anything that you put out of your estate years ago has no real federal estate tax benefit at the moment. But you have all these assets that you've given away that have now since grown. And I cannot tell you how many clients we've spoken with who've taken $3, $4, $5 million and put it into trust in the past 2 or 3 years. We did over 100 of these, and that said, good news, McManus, we're up $1 million in our portfolio because we have treated this as the most aggressive part of our investment lexicon. So we're up $1 million. Well, guess what? That $1 million that's in trust for your kids is now subject to gains tax when they sell it at high rates. The other piece is that you may have given them assets that, like a home years ago, that now have this low basis. And at some point, the real estate market is now beginning to recover. All of that original basis, what you paid for it years ago, is inside the trust. And then when the kids want to sell that asset, how can we avoid the big gain? Because they did not get any benefit from an income tax basis years ago. Their basis for selling is what you pay for it. So what can we do in that respect? And there are opportunities here, and we encourage each of you to talk to us because we can swap other assets that you have that have high basis, meaning there is no gain on it, like cash. There's no gain on cash. Or a bond portfolio where there's very little gain. The yield on a bond portfolio is the income, right? So we can swap bonds and cash for maybe a piece of real estate that is inside of a trust or an investment asset that's inside the trust. And now you take the low basis assets back into your name and you take the high basis assets and you put them into trust for your children. The value of that is that when you leave this earth, the assets that are low basis in your name do what they've always done and they will continue to do. And that is the basis gets reset. So, if there's any wish you should tell your doctors before you leave this earth, if you have that privilege, is to say, reach our lawyers and make sure they swap the low basis assets out of my trust for my kids and put those in my estate and take my high basis assets and swap them. Of course, it has to be an even exchange. There's analysis and appraisals we have to do, but it can be very simple as well. And let's not wait till the good Lord calls us home. Let's focus on these things today and see what we can do to get that jump up. Number three, if you've gifted assets that have greatly appreciated, you have to make sure that your heirs can cover the tax. So sometimes these issues don't get handled while you're alive. And so $4 or $5 million is in your estate. You've given away 2 or 3. The 4 or 5 that's in your estate gets a step up in basis, so when the kids sell it, there's no gain on it. The basis is reset at the date of your for your date of your death. So if you paid $1 million for it and now it's worth $2 million, when you die, there's no gain when they sell it at $2 million because the basis was reset to $2 million. However, for the assets that you gave them in trust years ago, those all have a big built-in gain. So there's a great opportunity to use life insurance here to pay the gains tax on the assets that you've gifted away during your lifetime, which don't enjoy any income tax step-up, number one. Number two is that you may make a decision, for example, that I'm not going to give assets away during my lifetime because I need them. We often hear that, say, running that strategy through and doing the analysis with our sophisticated financial advisors that you have representing you, and they determine that they don't want to give assets away. Well, that's good. They'll get a step up in basis on those assets that remain in their estate, but they will be subject to state estate tax if they continue to live in a jurisdiction of which there are many that charge state estate tax. So the issue then is how do we cover that tax? And again, we find life insurance as a key critical part of the puzzle. Number four, consequences of income tax benefits of planning testamentary trusts for the benefit of the surviving spouse. So I am a huge proponent of leaving the assets to the surviving spouse in trust. And many of you have heard the mantra, today your surviving spouse can be the trustee. You know, 20 years ago there may have been an institution serving, of which we are big supporters of generally because they have the capacity to do the work, but maybe the relationships you have changed, or the bank has been sold, or, you know, the philosophy has changed. And so there was always hesitation. Today, you, as the surviving spouse, can always be a trustee. You can be a co-trustee with an institution as well. So, but the reason for it is to protect those assets if your surviving spouse backs up into a school bus, or your surviving spouse has a reversal in their own economic life, or your surviving spouse marries. And so if your surviving spouse marries, you know at the minute that they take their nuptials, their new spouse, the new person in the family, is by law entitled to a portion of the estate, unless we have it in trust. So our view always has been put the assets into trust, and you will protect the remarriages, and you will protect the car accidents, and you will protect personal liability if there are certain investments that they're reversed. On the other hand, now, trust income tax rates are among the highest in the nation. And guess what? The rates are up again, so now they continue to go up. But maybe, just maybe, your surviving spouse has a lower income tax rate. So what we're now doing in building into our trust is an opportunity to make this trust provide, to attach the income tax rate of the beneficiary spouse. By converting this trust from just strictly a spousal trust as your surviving spouse to what we call a grantor trust. Without getting into the depth of the details here, it means that once this trust becomes a grantor trust, your spouse will then pay an income tax rate on their own current rate. So if they're 60, 70, 80 years old and are no longer making large amounts of income, the only income they're receiving is from the trust, we can then be at a much lower rate. And given that income tax rates are now 40% for the highest rates in trust, we would rather have the income tax rate be that of the surviving spouse. And so we may save 20% on the income tax rate at that approach, all depending on what bracket the surviving spouse is in. Next, we talk about the joint exempt step-up trust. What this does is it gives husband and wife the opportunity to create a situation where there is a step-up in basis of assets for the surviving spouse, and then again for the children. So sometimes we'll see where a husband will pass away and leave $10 million of assets to his wife. The wife will have $10 million of her own. This is a big amount. Maybe we'll choose a different number. We'll say husband has $5 million of assets and wife has $5 million of assets. Husband dies and leaves the $5 million to wife. Good news is the assets get stepped up for the surviving spouse. But now the surviving spouse still has $5 million of assets in her own name, if in this instance, and the husband's assets continue to grow. But those assets now no longer get a step up in basis when wife passes away. So the new and most sophisticated strategies are about getting the totality of those assets, all 10 million of them, to get a step up in basis when husband dies. How does that work? What happens is the husband we have to work with, and there's a guesstimate here, will be the one to outlive, will be the one to predecease the wife. The actuarial table say he generally will predecease her. The fact that he's older than her adds to it. And all assets go to the husband into a trust where he leaves these assets to the benefit of his wife. When he passes away, the entire $10 million of assets are now stepped up. And so no matter what wife has to sell, she avoids this near 40% tax rate because the basis is reset at the date her husband died. When wife dies, because of the way we've created the trust, the basis can be reset again, because this is what we call a Q-tip trust, where it's not taxable for estate tax purposes. It's only a protective trust. So now when wife dies, they're all included in her estate for tax purposes, and she then finds herself leaving these assets, all $10 million, to her kids with the basis reset again. So the two resetting of bases is critical, because if husband dies and wife inherits them, and only a portion of them, the assets, maybe wife kept the beach house in her name and now she sells it, she could pay $1 million in gains tax. But if she puts it all into trust with her husband and then he dies, all those assets get reset. And if wife needs to sell the beach house, she could avoid $1 million of tax. Let's say wife sells none of the assets during her lifetime. But now, since her husband had only left her half under the old paradigm, that half of assets does not get reset when wife dies, only the half she owns. So now we find ourselves in a position, again, when she's leaving the assets to the kids, only 50% of the assets get the step up. The way we avoid this is having all the assets go into one trust, starting on the first spouse, husband in this instance, and we enjoy the plan of tax-free money, both estate tax and income tax-free, all the way down to the kids. Why does it work? Because we're under $10 million, and so we don't have any federal exemption, federal tax. Okay, so number six, you're under the federal exemption. Will you still owe estate tax to your state government? How do you plan? So the answer is yes, for sure. Number A, we say, although the federal exemption currently allows married couples an exemption of just over $10 million, as you know, New Jersey is $675, just for the easy math, whereas the amount of the federal exemption for the married couple can elect portability to deploy both spouses' exemptions on the passing of the second spouse. This is not an option. You do not have this portability option on the federal level, on the state level. So your choice here is, what can I do to keep my exemptions alive? A very important point where you get tricked. So people who tell you, listen, I have $6 million in assets, and I understand I can not only have my exemption, but my spouse's exemption, so now I can go $10 million free, they are correct, but only on the federal level. You have to be careful. These portability strategies are for two groups of people. The unsophisticated, who've done no planning, okay, and the sophisticated, who use them surgically and strategically to their benefit. Portability is only for strategic application for you as our clients. How does it work? Well, what we can do is only save the state exemption when one of you passes away. So husband passes away, fund his trust up to the state exemption amount, which in New Jersey is $675. In Connecticut, we're far more liberal, so beneficial, so there's $2 million. So we would fund the trust to your surviving spouse for $2 million. Now we've got $2 million for you and $2 million for your spouse. $4 million passes free on the state level, and we've avoided the 10% tax up to that. And on a $10 million estate, there's $600,000 remaining, but it could have wound up being an additional $200,000 or $300,000 of tax. It is important, though, that you got to set this trust up. Then anything over the state exemption amount will focus potentially at that point on using the portability piece that the federal government gives us. Again, portability only works on the federal level, not on the state, and portability on your level is to be used strategically and surgically. Okay, we're on to seven. Gifting a gap Q-tip trust income can be a uniquely leverage your unused exemption amounts. And how do you sprinkle these distributions among beneficiaries? So what happens here is, if you do a trust, and many of you have set them up this way and we recommend it, is on the first spouse's death, we fund up to the state exemption amount, and that's our first trust. Then we create a second trust, which is the gap between the state trust and the federal exemption amount. So if you had a $6 million estate and you lived in New York, first million goes to state exemption amount. The next $6 million, the next $4 million goes to the gap trust, and then we have the federal exemption amount beyond that point. Okay, or Q-tip trust. So this middle trust provides really unique opportunities here where you have income, and by giving this income away to your children while you're alive, again, this seems esoteric, but it's a very neat opportunity to say, I'm going to deploy a portion of the income, okay, which is only for this middle trust, okay, and all of you have the three trust structures in your wills, based on the net worth category you are and why you're on this call. But by doing this piece, you can see that we have given an additional gift to our children, but we have retained the right to have the step-up in basis on this piece when we die, but the income has passed to our children when we're alive. More on this discussion going forward, but this strategy, for those of you on the call who are surviving widows or widowers, it's important that we address this right away to deploy this income, this income gift to your kids. All right, number eight, do you know about the non-tax factors for estate planning with trust? So, of course, we've talked about asset protection. We can also talk about disability and business succession. We have seen more than ever now, those of you who are spouses in businesses, that your spouse will leave the assets of the business in trust for you during your lifetime so you can enjoy the income and then pass it down to one or more of your children. These are key critical pieces to protect so that while you're alive, you're benefiting from the assets of the business, but you're still assuring that the business will pass down to one of your children, one or more of them. And this can happen even if you have a non-family member as a partner. We see this more than ever. Who should be the trustee? How much they work together? So we've talked about this. Should it be your surviving spouse? Should it be the child who's going to inherit the business? These are wonderful opportunities, non-tax planning pieces, to think this piece through. We also may want to have a separate trustee to serve in an administrative capacity to choose the assets that are being invested, the income assets, okay? Number nine, are you fulfilling your annual requirements to keep your estate plan and monitoring them regularly? So the good news is that those of you on this call know the critical nature of having to meet once a year. I have found that meeting with my physician is once a year, and it's critical for my health. Now my physician is saying, you know, I'd like to meet with you twice a year. Surely there is an additional expense, but I like the idea of once or twice or three times a year sitting down with my medical professional to know where I am on all my blood counts, my blood pressure, where my enzymes are, etc., because I'm trying to do my best to remain in shape, and I recommend it for my wife, Rosemary, as well. We feel that given the changes in the tax law, it is not an unimportant thing to do for your estate plan. It means to meet once a year at minimum. We're updating you monthly on these calls. But additionally, it is essential to be mindful that at the end of the year we give you a review that's written, but it's not particularly tailored to any unique factors that have happened over the course of the year that we don't know about. And so the meetings are critical because we can collect all of the plans that we've discussed during the year from estate plans, and you can give us your information on your details. Very important. And every year we come up with five or six new things, like powers inside the trust for your spouse to take advantage of the new paradigm of tax planning, abilities to reallocate assets among your children in the event that one is doing particularly well or one needs a greater percentage of help. So the annual meetings allow us to do that. Number 10, digital assets. Have you planned for them? Of course, we now know that digital assets have value. Okay, some of them are sentimental. Some of them are commercial. It's a box full of jewelry. Some are valuable or some are not. Hopefully your box of jewelry, as my wife has reminded me, should not have your most valuable ones. We need to set them separately, and that gives us the opportunity to say the same about our digital accounts. Okay? You should know that Google allows you to designate beneficiaries online. They have ways to make sure that your electronic pulse has really gone silent. It checks for traces of your online self, for example, by way of Android check-ins, Gmail activity, and web history. Then, a month before it pulls the plug, Google alerts you by text and email, just in case you're still not there. If the silence has indeed fallen, Google notifies your beneficiaries and provides links that can follow to download the photographs, the videos, documents, and other data, right? Because it's simple. If your spouse knows all your codes, and for me, the complexity of my life with running the firms and having three children and spending time with my wife, I keep my codes available for my wife at all times so that we don't make it complex. But if you have separate codes, it is very difficult to break those. And Google now, I would submit to you, will not give you the code if they say someone's passed away because they now have a protocol as to how they want things to be handled. And if you do go silent after a period of time, they're going to be there to help you. But now that they have this protocol, they may not react when we say we need you to give us the code. They should, and we're going to have to bring an action if they don't, when we deliver a death certificate. That should allow us to trump and oversee it. But I can't emphasize enough that we are now putting a big push on focusing on digital assets and protecting. You also should make a private list of your usernames and passwords. Some of our advisors tell us we should be, you know, changing them every 6 months. God bless. I think that's a great call. I don't know that it can be done, but it's not necessarily a mistake to keep a set of those sealed, sign the back of the envelope, and mail it to us, and at least we'll have that short term. You could also put it in your safe deposit box, but make sure that your safe deposit box has, other than yourself, one of your loved ones who has access, because your safe deposit box, the steel door comes down on that the same way it does with Google. No access to it unless there are court-ordered papers, like a executor name or a death certificate. There is a task force that was assembled in the end of 2012, but it has not put together policy suggestions. Just be mindful that policy suggestions are web history, Gmail activity. There may be things that are important in there. There may be questions about activities that happened just before you passed away that would lead to a discussion as to why you passed away, God forbid. And if that's all locked in, we don't have access. So in our continued effort to keep you current and to let you know that it is all quiet on the federal level, Obama has said that the exemption is will remain over $5 million, but it will be indexed to inflation. That is a wonderful, sleepy ship that has pulled out of port. We know what the number is. Where the work is happening back at the dock is on income tax planning, on asset protection planning, on swapping of assets, on jurisdictions that give the best income tax rates, on protecting your digital presence and your digital assets online.